There from UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is today she accused Russia of flagrantly and aggressively using nerve agent to poison a former Russian spy in the UK and called on Moscow to once again come clean and for the UN Security Council to hold Russia accountable. President Trump is in St. Louis where he toured a Boeing facility and touted the tax cuts.
We got it not only passed but bigger than anything ever passed in the history of our country.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroots. It doesn't take much for grocery store shelves to go from fully stocked to completely bare. Please don't wait for an emergency to happen to become a victim of chaos and a government that cannot provide. Make sure you have an adequate food storage supply and use My Patriot Supply. These are great folks I've started working with. They've helped me plan for an emergency. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, with this first step, you can make any crisis seem like an inconvenience. Get each person in your household a two-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're only $67. That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. Preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540. 524-6540 or preparewithwayne.com.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Today we have a very exciting show for you planned. We've got Justin Bourne, ex-Sound Tiger, son of Bob Bourne, and really just a great person to talk to. I'm really excited for that. But first, we have the weather. It looks like it's going to snow again tonight. Craziness. Even though it's the end of winter, it looks like we're going to have snow again. And tomorrow we will have rain, and then Friday night and Saturday night we will have more rain, partly cloudy, snow possibly, with a low of 26. So the weather is going to be continuing to be crazy. This is one of the last episodes of the winter for Destination Hockey before we get into the exciting Stanley Cup season of the spring, but right now it looks like we still have snow. So with that, that's the weather, and we will be right back with Justin Bourne.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. My name is David Lazar. I'm a little sick today, but I'm going to try to do the show with a great guest, Justin Bourne. But first, we have had a crazy last few weeks in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. First, I had a very special guest, Patrick Dowd, on, and we talked about the Islanders of the past, the arena situation. That was on February 28th, and we did not get to review the trade deadline. Then last week, our episode got snowed out. I had a great interview planned with the Celtics announcer, and unfortunately, that was canceled. But right now, we've got some time before Justin Bourne comes on, so I'm going to talk about the trade deadline. The trade deadline was an exciting time. It's one of my favorite, as I said, the episode before on the 21st of February. The NHL trade deadline is one of the best parts about hockey. Even though there's no play going on the ice, it's just exciting to watch the headlines, the trades, and seeing the teams being altered with the benefit of hindsight, which is what I'm going to do. It's crazy to see the impact that these seemingly simple moves have had. And right now we're going to do a little segment, Trade Deadline Hindsight, for our first 10 minutes of the show before we have Mr. Bourne on, and we're going to look at some teams that really benefited from the deadline. First, we have the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets were struggling before the deadline. They had really terrible offensive production from really all fronts. Alexander Wenberg, who was a sensational, 60-point player last year, was struggling. He was supposed to be their top center, and Pierre-Luc Dubois kind of took over as a rookie, and, he wasn't, suited to play that position, and he really struggled. And the whole team was struggling with the inadequate center depth that they had. And, the offense, the power play, the 5-on-5 scoring, Corsi, it was really not going well for them. So what they did is they value winning. They care about their team, so they went through a makeover at the deadline. They traded some low-round picks, some mid-round picks, and some prospects, and really shored up their lineup. They added valuable depth pieces in Mark Letestu, Thomas Vanek, and Ian Cole, three players who didn't cost a lot, but combined, they really had the impact of a really star player. They are three players that will come into the lineup, give their heart every day, and create some competition. They also completely changed up the power play in coincidence with the deadline. They moved Alexander Wenberg, who was struggling, off the half wall, which, for those of you unfamiliar, it's the wall and the ice on the power play. They usually have flanking players, one on the left, one on the right. And a lot of times, players who don't know how to play that position, Alexander Ovechkin is the perfect example of someone who excels there. But when you have players who can't really, you know, man the wall, you have a lot of clears, a lot of, you know, power play time that isn't useful because you're really, it's like a, it's impeding the whole, what you're trying to do in the power play, which is score with the extra man. And Alexander Wenberg was doing a pretty bad job. So they moved him into the front of the net. He's not the biggest body, but they really liked him as a net front presence from watching him in juniors. And the power play has been really great. Since January 11th, they're scoring at a rate of 21.2%, which is one of the best in hockey. And the power play's back, the offense is back, and this is all because of some changes at the deadline. Their additions at the deadline really added stability to the lineup. They went from frequently sending players up and down to the AHL affiliate, the Cleveland Monsters. Like Sonny Milano was a perfect example. He was someone who was up and down and up and down, and he really wasn't, you know, a centerpiece of that lineup. Now he's on the second line, and he's someone who really has made this team better. He's added offense, he's added defense. There have been mental changes with this team as well. Now that they add three new players in hockey, that's, you know, you have 18 players on the ice, not including the goaltenders. So that's 1/6 of their lineup. They added three new guys in, increased competition. Everyone mentally needed to play harder or they'd lose their spot. Even stars who, you know, Nick Foligno, Alexander Wenberg, were at risk of being sat because they had three new players coming in that they really wanted to take advantage of. The team wants to win. You see that a lot in hockey. And they made the moves to win, and I'm really happy that they're going to, you know, they're pushing the Devils, which we'll talk about next, for a spot. They're pushing the Panthers. They want to win. They have the grit. They have the determination. And with John Tortorella leading the helm, there's really no reason to think that they won't sneak into the playoffs. Three new players, it changed everything, and it was great to see them prioritize this at the deadline. Now onto the Boston Bruins. They're another team that made a big splash at the deadline. They traded for Rick Nash, who I'm not a big fan of. Not the biggest fan of Rick Nash, I'll be honest. I don't think that he's someone who really changed the lineup, but I've been slightly proven wrong. Statistically, he hasn't been that great. He hasn't impressed too much, but he really has defensively, which is something that's kind of been surprising. He's really shored up the lineup, and offensively, he's provided scoring that they needed. Ryan Spooner, who was a player he was acquired for, he was good. He put up some points, but they weren't really meaningful points, and he didn't really fit in. Rick Nash has really gotten goals. He's really added to the lineup, and he has 21 goals on the season, which is something that Ryan Spooner didn't offer. For Rick Nash, however, the Bruins gave up a lot. They gave up Timothy Lindgren, Ryan Spooner, as I mentioned, a first-round pick, a seventh-round pick. Something that was very important, though, they got the Rangers to pick up half of Matt Beleski's albatross of a contract. That's really what it is. It was terrible. And now they're saving $1.9 million for the next two seasons, which is really important for a team that always approaches the cap like Boston. Nash wasn't the only one they added, though. Even though Boston has a history, they were in the Stanley Cup a few years back, they were a very young team with players like Brandon Carlo coming in and making an impact, David Pastrnak. They really were young, and they needed some veterans. So they added Brian Gionta, my friend Nick texted me when they added Brian Gionta, like laughing about it, and I thought at first it was a joke. Brian Gionta has been out of the league for a year, and he's an old guy, but he's a veteran presence. He's a leader, and adding someone like that to the locker room can do more impact. It could do wonders off the ice than it does on the ice, and even on the ice, it's been doing great. He's putting up points. He's playing great defensively, and he has so much experience. He's led Team USA in the Olympics. He's led the Buffalo Sabres, all these great teams in the past, and he's someone who really, really is important for that team. It seemed like they were treating the deadline like it was 2010, adding Rick Nash and Brian Gionta, but they really did a good job. They are added players that are working out so far, and in the playoffs, which is where it matters, when they're going to have to go up against Toronto first round most likely, will add some leadership against a young team, and I'm really excited for watching them in the playoffs. They're going to be a tough team. I'm not a Boston fan. I hope they lose early, but they're an exciting team to watch. Next, the New Jersey Devils. Sorry, I have to grab a drink of water. I'm already losing my voice. But the New Jersey Devils really did something that everyone expected them to do. Their GM is of really, really, he's just, there's no words to describe him coming from an Islanders fan. He cares about winning. He cares about his team. He'll do anything he has to, and he added two players at a cost, a second, a third, two prospects. He got Michael Grabner and Patrick Maroon. Maroon's averaging over a point per game on the Devils. I saw him live twice. He's an impact player. He's someone who comes into the lineup, adds really physicality. He's really someone who is a hitter. He's a defender, and he's on the power play. He got a power play goal in a game Tuesday against Montreal. That was last Tuesday, the day before the show was canceled last week. And he's really made an fantastic, I don't know, he's someone that a lot of teams could have used, the Islanders could have used. They're the next team we're going to talk about, and I'm happy that the Devils got someone like that. Michael Grabner, he's the modern-day version of Bob Bourne. You'll hear a lot about Bob Bourne coming up on our interview with Justin Bourne. He's streaky, he's fast, he's great on breakaways, but he doesn't get assists and sometimes has trouble putting the puck in the net. He's an electric player, but on these breakaways, he's got to put the puck in the net. That's what matters, or else you're going to have another breakaway coming back the other way. And he hasn't put the puck in the net yet. He misses the net. He shoots it high. He overthinks his moves on the breakaway, and he hasn't been able to give them a goal yet. He's great on the penalty kill. He's great offensively on a third-line type role, which is what they used him for. Sure, they gave a second-round pick. In hindsight, not sure that was the best move. He hasn't really been the player they needed. Maybe they could have gone after a Evander Kane for a second-round pick. He's someone who's a little better, but I guess looking back, it's just nice to see a team prioritizing the Stanley Cup like the Devils have, and their GM is really, really doing a great job. Hines is just that whole organization, their coach, their GM. It's just they're a team that really wants to win. Their fan base has been deprived for a while, and they're going to win this year. They're going to make the playoffs, and hopefully they've added enough to get past the first round. The New York Islanders, it's sad to talk about with the New York Islanders. Garth Snow is a really bad GM, and that's a fact, but again, does nothing at the trade deadline. Their Islanders are 8 points back now. The season's over, but 2.5 weeks ago, the last time we talked on this show, the Islanders were in a playoff spot. I'm not sure if you remember. The last time I had this show, the Islanders were in a playoff spot, and 2.5 weeks goes by, and they're 8 points out. They have completely blown their season. Doug Waite has superficial anger, performative anger. I'm excited to talk about Justin Bourne. He has been a really, really cocky coach in the past, and what he's done now is he's just getting angry for no reason. He seems to not be making adjustments to his failing system. The defense, the offense, it's all just, it's really deteriorating at our hands, and the Islanders are out of the playoffs now. The Tanner Fritz experiment, he was on the first line. I mean, what are you doing with Tanner Fritz on the first line? You want to make the playoffs with Tanner Fritz, and I love him. I love Tanner Fritz. He followed me on Instagram for a time. He was very supportive of our podcast. But he's just not a hockey player that you want on the first line on a team competing for a playoff spot. The Islanders completely lost their grit and competitive edge. It looks like they don't want it, and that's very unfortunate in an NHL where winning is everything, and the Islanders don't seem to care about winning. They have accepted mediocrity, and the playoffs are now impossible. The Islanders are 8 points back, and to all the Islanders fans listening coming over from Drive for Five, it's a shame. This could have been prevented. Chris Gibson could have been added to the lineup earlier. Thomas Greiss didn't have to play as many games as he has with almost a 4.0 goals against average. There's so much that could have been done. In hindsight, it's so easy to look back and pinpoint things. With the Bruins, Devils, Columbus Blue Jackets, we're looking back in hindsight and saying, oh, what they did was good, what they did was bad. But with the Islanders, it's actually kind of like you could have said this 2 weeks ago. You could have known this fall was coming. It was unsustainable to give it 50 shots a night and win, even though Chris Gibson has managed to do that again. And you've given up 50 shots 6 times this year. How are you going to win hockey games with that? It's impossible. Changes needed to be made. Garth Snow needed to make a move. Doug Waite needed to change his system. And the Islanders completely ignored the facts and are suffering because of it. They will not make the playoffs. They will possibly lose John Tavares because of it. And it's very unfortunate that it has come to this. So that's the Islanders, Devils, Bruins, and Columbus Blue Jackets. We kind of covered all the local teams and Columbus in the Hunterdon County area. That was Trade Deadline Hindsight. It was fun talking about the deadline with you finally. And when we come back, we have our special guest, Justin Bourne. So stay tuned for that.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. This is your host, David Lazar. I'm very excited to introduce Justin Bourne today. He is a Sound Tigers ex-player, a journalism legend, and I'm just extremely honored to have him on the show. So thank you so much for coming on. So, if you would just mind introducing yourself for the people who do not know who you are today. Okay, it looks like we have him on the show, so hopefully he can start hearing us soon. Otherwise, I'll drop the call and retry him. But right now, it looks like there seems to be miscommunication here. So, Justin, can you hear me? Hello, Justin. Okay, so it looks like we're not getting him, although I do hear him. He is connected. So right now, we're going to take a brief commercial break, and then I'm going to try him again, and hopefully we can get him. So thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are here with Justin Bourne again. Let's hope he can hear us. Justin, are you there? Justin, hello? Justin, you there? Oof, that is not good. Okay, I'm going to try one more time, and then we are going to continue the show with what I have planned. I'm very sorry about this, guys. It looks like there seems to be something going on. So we will be right back one more time. Please stay tuned. This is going to be a great interview, I promise.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Okay, let's try this again. This is David Lazar on the Hunterton Chamber Radio, the voice of business. This is Destination Hockey, and we have a really great guest today, Justin Bourne. Justin, please, can you hear me?
Yes, faintly, but I can hear you.
Okay, let me... My mic is... Can you hear me now a little better? This is the max it goes.
All right, yes, I can hear you as good as we need to.
Okay, great. I'll make sure I talk loud. So, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to have you on and talk to you about some stuff you've been working on in your career. And for those of you, the listeners who do not know you, mind just introducing yourself a little bit? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, you mind just introducing yourself a little bit for me?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Justin Bourne. I am the son of Bob Bourne, who played for the Islanders and won four cups, and I married Clark Gilley's daughter, who also won four cups with those Islanders teams, and played a little bit myself, and now I write for The Athletic, and do a lot of feature work, primarily for Canadian teams, but... just whatever The Athletic needs me to do, I'm willing to write.
That's great. It's important to be versatile in the journalism world, as we discussed last week with our guest. But your most recent piece, which I really, really took an interest to, was performative anger. And it is something that is common in hockey. You see it a lot. Whether it's a stage fight or coaches overreacting over players making mistakes, people in hockey like to get angry over superficial reasons. What compelled you to take some action on this topic and have your voice be heard and write an article about it?
Well, I think it's something that affected my career personally, I feel like. After losing a game, having a laugh on the bus with a buddy or, shooting pucks at your friend's skates during practice. All those sort of lighthearted things are not really smiled upon by coaches because they think you're not taking your job seriously or you're not trying as hard as you could. But, they're off the ice and they're unrelated to the things that actually make a difference in terms of wins and losses. And so it was a career-long frustration for me that coaches would get upset when, not just myself, but other people would have a laugh sort of in difficult moments, but the season's long, and it just never made sense to me. So, watching the Glenn Gullison clip, which, I don't think he necessarily was losing his mind or anything, but it brought back memories of the days where I had to pretend to be upset when I really wasn't upset. And that's for whatever reason in hockey culture, you need to be angry, mostly angry. If you win all the time, you're okay, but if you lose, you need to be angry. And I think that's a little silly.
Yeah, great point you brought up. But just to play a little devil's advocate, the Islanders, which are a team you're very familiar with, have been plagued by really some bad seasons and some bad losses. And in 2010, Garth Snow hired Jack Capuano to take over as the head coach. And he showed absolutely no emotion after a bad loss, after a tough game. He would be a robot saying, oh, they played well, things went okay. And it was stressful at times for fans. How does a coach walk the line between being angry when necessary and not getting angry just for the hell of it?
Well, I think in the NHL, there's a particular interest in really the whole goal is to preserve your job. I mean, there's 30, 31, now, eventually 32 jobs, head coach jobs in the NHL, and they pay millions of dollars. And as much as we like to think that, winning Stanley Cups is everyone's goal, it's, having those jobs, being one of those 30-some guys is pretty valuable. So I understand. I think Jack went out there a lot of nights in front of the media and, you know, underwent some self-preservation and said, we lost, but we played well. And, you know, he didn't really want to throw himself under the bus to some extent. So, you know, at the junior levels and at the lower levels, it's a lot easier to tear your team apart and, you know, the jobs aren't quite as valuable. At the NHL level, it's really tough to stand in front of the media and say, you know, we just didn't give it the right effort tonight. Our guys didn't try, because that's your job. So I think at the NHL level, we don't see people throw themselves under the bus as much as you know, they maybe would in the WHL.
Yeah, definitely. Doug Waite, the current coach, has had a pretty rough go of things in his first full year as head coach. He had a great stint as interim last year, but now things have really been under the radar for him, and it's not going well. You know, giving up 50 shots a night, some terrible losses, and a really bad losing streak. And Waite has shown some of this anger that you talked about. He went after Shannon Hogan. She was asking him some questions, and he was like, I don't know, Shannon. You know, really getting angry at her. And then Stan Fischler asked about some goalie situations, and he got angry at Stan and said, I don't know. Let me answer that tomorrow. And he's been showing a lot of anger, which is something Jack Capuano never did. So how should Waite be handling his anger both in public and behind the scenes as he watches the demise of his team?
Well, it's tough to, you know, to second guess how he should be handling it. But you look at the people in the news for being upset and having fits lately, and it's guys like Gullickson and Waite, who their teams have underachieved, right? Like,
yeah.
The Islanders have a ton of talent in a division that's not very good. And they're getting lit up. Like, they're not, probably not going to make the playoffs. They're giving up a ton of shots. You know, defense is mostly on the coaches. I think Waite recognizes that, you know, he's a little bit desperate. This is going to come crashing down on him. And Gullickson, same thing. Very good team in Calgary. You know, the division's not that strong. To me, it's just a matter of these are guys that are not embarrassed, but they're panicking. They see it, you know, the sands of the hourglass slipping by them. So I don't know how the best way to handle it would be, but I think that's the reason we're seeing them act the way they are.
Yeah, and the New York Islanders, you mentioned, have had a really tough go of things this season. How can you explain the craziness that has been the Islanders this year?
Sorry, say that again?
Okay, my bad. The Islanders have had a crazy year, you know, the 50 shots and everything. How can you kind of explain the season that has been for them?
Well, you know, from what I've seen, and I watch them, you know, every game more or less, I do my best to, it's not like they're playing some system that's unique to the NHL. They're not doing something that's super different. So it all boils down to, okay, is our personnel not cut out to defend, or is the coaching staff not enforcing attention to detail and, you know, everything else that needs to be enforcing? And it could be a little bit of both. You could definitely see that there are some offense-only minded players on the team. But to me, it just comes down to coaching. If the team isn't paying attention to detail, if they're flying the zone before the puck is in, you know, the team's possession, to me, if you're not dialed in on all those little things, I mean, it sucks. I like Doug Waite a lot, but eventually it comes back to the coaching, and that's kind of where I have it at.
Yeah, from what you're seeing as kind of a neutral Toronto guy, do you think there needs to be a change in the organization when the offseason comes around with the GM, whether it's Doug Waite or Garth Snow, when they inevitably miss the playoffs?
I mean, I don't see how there couldn't be turnover. Like, they've had enough time. So if I were a GM, I would sell a rebuild immediately. I would say, I need this much. I need 5 years. I need whatever amount of time. And he buys you great years and a salary and a great job. And say, oh, rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. But eventually, the rebuild has to bear fruit. And, you know, the Islanders are better, but they're better as a product of being crappy for so long. You know, Garth made some good moves, some bad moves, but they don't seem particularly close to being a threatening team. So if I'm the owner of that club, I'd say, all right, well, what you've done and what you've tried did not work. Time to try something else. I suspect in the offseason there will be changes.
Yeah, and it's really a shame because you have Matt Barzal, you have John Tavares, Nick Leddy, a great core, but things just aren't going well with the surrounding cast. Speaking of John Tavares, you're a Toronto guy. I've been reading a lot of Myrtle's great insight on this. How do you feel the John Tavares sweepstakes will end up this summer? Do you think Toronto's a possibility?
I'm in the minority in Toronto. I don't think there's much of a chance that he comes here, and I don't think it would be smart for him to come here. I mean, he's a superstar, and he wants to win Stanley Cups. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny here. It's brutal, and the contracts that are coming up with Matthews and Marner and Nylander, you know, I just don't think that it's best for the Toronto, you know, for the Leafs to take on another $11 million a year for X amount of years salary. I think that limits their ability to succeed as good as I think JT is. So I don't think it makes sense either way for him to come here. I think he likes to have less attention. I think he likes to have a chance to win and to play an important game. Long Island makes a lot of sense for him. They just have to convince him that, you know, things are going to stabilize and they're going to stay competitive and the Belmont thing is going to happen fairly smoothly and all those things. But I don't think Toronto makes sense for him.
Yeah, it's something that I doubt you see. He wants to win on the island. He wants to bring this fan base, something they've never seen since, you know, the 80s. And I have confidence he will stay. Speaking of the Islanders, you played for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers for 16 games, and your father, as you mentioned, is a legend for the franchise, winning 4 Stanley Cups and really being a key member of that team. What was it like to finally make it to the pro level and play with an organization that your father made such an impact?
Well, it was, you know, probably the crowning achievement of my career. You know, I went to the Islanders camp that year and pulled on a Islander sweater, and they take your headshot, like, just in case you make the Islanders, which was, you know, never a possibility, but it was cool to be in that sort of situation. And, you know, I played 16 games, but I was there for 3 months. You know, I probably sat out 30 or whatever it was with the team. So getting to be around there was really cool. I was dating Clark Gilley's daughter, who lived in Long Island, so I was close to Long Island. It's an hour away, so I got to spend time with her. The whole thing was a trip, because I was never really any good when I was young, and then I kind of got better as I got older, and so I had never even imagined a scenario where, you know, I'm getting my picture taken in an Islanders sweater, and it's for real, you know, it's for the organization's website and all that. So it meant, the first time I pulled it on, there was a little baby tear that I didn't let anyone see. It was pretty special.
Yeah, I wouldn't sell yourself short, though. You were an all-star in the ECHL level. One of our writers for my website, Christian, is actually a big fan. He's got the ECHL jersey, the all-star game, the Born jersey. So that's pretty cool. You did have some success in the low levels, and you also have had some success with the Athletic. You moved to the Athletic after your hockey career on the ice ends, and you've had a lot of success there. You are a senior writer for the up-and-coming subscription-based website, and we had Neil Best on the show last week, who recently won a New York Sports Writer of the Year award, and his employer, Newsday, lost Arthur Staple to The Athletic. How has The Athletic been able to convince such prolific reporters to jump ship and join them?
Well, I mean, it's really a unique and special opportunity. I'm very proud to be a part of what they're doing. But, you know, the biggest thing with sports writing in general and just news in general is that the money's not there for a lot of these writers, and they end up doing other things and pursuing other careers because, as much as, you know, they may be good at what they do, they like to make money. Well, The Athletic has said, you know, what if we actually paid these guys appropriately and offered them a platform that I'm not limited in terms of character count or topic or anything, you know, that they give us a chance to do the best work we can do. And then you see the growth and the way it's going, and I think there's real potential for it to become something special. And I mean, you know, when I signed on, I didn't know it would grow at the rate it's been growing, but I mean, it's very exciting to be a part of what's happening with The Athletic, for sure.
Yeah, personally, what are some of your goals with The Athletic in the coming months, coming years?
Sorry, pardon me?
What are some of your goals for The Athletic, you personally, with writing and as the website as a whole in the coming years?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that I do that I don't know that many other people do is sort of break down things, break down hockey plays as best I can. And as we lead up towards the playoffs, I think I'm uniquely situated to sort of explain why things happen the way they happened. And as there's less teams and less games and everyone is watching the same game, my goal is to sort of hopefully be the most informed voice. You know, I did the video coaching for the Toronto Marlies the last 2 years and really, really broke down tape extensively. So I hope that I'm able to provide insight that other people aren't able to on the same game. We're all watching the same thing, and I hope to be able to provide something that other people can.
Yeah, reading your work, I have a subscription, and it's really fascinating to read everything you guys do, everything Art does, and it's really exciting.
Sorry, I've lost you here.
Oh, it's okay. I was just saying that I really love your work, and especially with Arthur, I really like what you guys do there. And
well, I appreciate that. I think there's real promise there.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the, for me at least, it's definitely worth paying, and I know other sports fans feel like that because the quality of journalism is really high up there. It's something you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, and believe me, I mean, I signed on before a lot of great names mm-hmm. did. I see some of the work that they're doing, and I can't even believe that I get to be a part of it too, so I'm very excited about it all.
Yeah, they've grown a lot, and the owner of the co-founder of The Athletic, Alex Mather, I talked about this with Neil Best. He said, we will wait every local newspaper out and let them continuously bleed until we are the last one standing. We will suck them dry of their best talent at every moment. We will make business extremely difficult for them. You guys have a real mission there. You really are determined here. How do you feel about some of those comments that the co-founder of The Athletic mentioned?
It's too much. That's too much. It's not the goal. You know, the goal isn't to see other people fail. But I think what he's basically saying is they have a better strategy than the newspapers, and you know, that's going to cost the newspapers some of their best people. And you know, it's not so much about seeing other people fail as we believe we have a real chance to succeed. And I think even he, if you asked him today, he'd be like, I wish I phrased that a bit differently. But I get where he's coming from in terms of the mission for the company.
Yeah, it certainly got the attention of New York Times and really got the national stage, you know, looking towards
also,
The Athletic.
You know, in your new company, that doesn't necessarily hurt either.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was just saying. On that New York Times article where he said it, I don't know about the insights of that, but I'm sure so many people looked into The Athletic, made the conscious decision to buy a subscription after reading that because they wanted to jump on the hot topic.
Who the heck is this guy? I better look into this.
Exactly.
People are looking at your company. You know, it didn't go over well in terms of public perception, but it probably didn't hurt the company.
Yeah, to be a successful shark in this field, you need to be bold, and I'm sure that was a bold move that paid off. And you personally, you were able to make the transition from player to journalist partially because of a really groundbreaking piece that you broke about, you know, gay slurs and the culture towards gays in hockey. And reading that, it was fascinating to see because I can relate it to my world in school, everywhere. You know, gay slurs are present, and what you wrote really was inspirational. How did you come about that idea, and what made you decide to write about it?
Now, I don't remember if there's one particularly triggering incident, but I knew at the time that when I was just out of hockey and I was writing that I had a very unique sort of niche. And that's that I had played and been in the dressing rooms. And so hockey culture is something that not everyone could write about. And in the early days of my writing, I wanted to write about things that, you know, only someone who'd actually played could know about. And that was one of them. Obviously, I'm a little bit more sensitive guy, and I genuinely held that opinion at the time. And so it sort of made sense for me to write about. And it really did blossom from there. Brendan and Patrick Burke reached out to me at the time, and Brendan Burke, you know, Brian's son, was gay, and he mm-hmm. told me how much he appreciated the article. I asked him if I could write his story, because obviously Brendan Burke's son being gay, Brian Burke's son being gay, is very interesting, and he's very supportive. They said yes. You know, I started to get into it, and they decided that if they were going to go that route, it made a lot more sense to go with a much bigger outlet, ESPN. Mm-hmm. Slightly bigger than jtborn.com at the time, so that made a lot of sense. But it's kept me close with the Burke family. It was something, you know, probably my proudest writing achievement is just putting that article out there and seeing the support that it brought and how much it meant to people.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing to read. You might humbly disagree, but the trend of, you know, gay athletes coming out after that article really increased after that. You really were an inspiration to a lot of people, and I'm sure they're very appreciative of that, especially Brendan Burke. You know, his what he did was really bold, and you don't see a lot of players in the younger levels, which I want to ask you about this. In the younger levels, you don't see players coming out. You also don't see it in the higher levels, but especially in the younger levels, you don't see players coming out because Michael Sam, for example, he came out in college. It was arguably detrimental to his career. How do you feel that coming out young really hurts someone in the culture that is today?
So I understand that if there were one player who were, you know, a huge deal, you know, a fantastic player and decided to come out young, you know, some teams might be hesitant about the attention it would bring, the extra media scrutiny, whatever. But I really don't think in the NHL today it would be a huge deal. You know, every manager and coach, their job is on the line every day, and they want the best players they can get. And I feel like if someone were to come out today in the NHL, young player, even before the draft, I mean, some team would be like, all right, we think he's a good player, we'll grab him.
Mm-hmm.
I think things have changed significantly. I honestly do. I know it seems like progress is slow, but I think it's happening, and I think it would be just fine today if someone were to come out, and I think there'd be a lot of support.
That's great. Times have really changed. You don't see that. You know, you didn't see that 5 years ago. And with the Hockey is for Everyone movement, which has gotten let me raise that. With the Hockey is for Everyone movement, it's really showing that times are changing in the NHL, and what was happening 10 years ago really isn't happening today. So the Hockey is for Everyone movement, it's great to see the NHL, you know, whatever you want to say about that, they care, and hopefully, like you said, that wouldn't really matter. So just one last question before I let you go here. What advice do you have for aspiring athletes, journalists, whatever it may be, when there's adversity, difficulty, whatever, you know, when you want to get to the top of your goals? How do you recommend getting there through contacts, whatever it may be?
Well, it's really tough to give one particular piece of advice. You know, the one thing you see in hockey is you see players who aren't necessarily the most talented, but they just outwork more talented people. They put in more time. You know, they study more. They lift more. They do more work. You know, I think back to my first year as a video coach for the Toronto Marlies, and so on the bus after the game, I would have like four iPads that had all the players' shifts on them, and the players could come up to me and say, "Hey, could I watch my shift?" And the players who would come up and watch their shifts were like Zach Hyman, Connor Brown, Soshnikov. It was the exact guys who went on to have success because they just, you know, as much as they are talented, they also cared and they outworked everyone. And I think that's a core part of it. There's a lot of parity, you know, in media and, you know, just like there is in the NHL. And the people who work harder, they tend to come out on top. So I guess the most basic piece, I know it's a cliche, but just outwork everyone else, and that'll give you the best chance.
Great advice. Thank you so much for everything you had to say today. It was great to speak to you. I'm really happy you were able to come on and tell us a little about the Islanders, about your article and your work with The Athletic. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course. I hope to stay in touch, and thank you again. So with that, this is Destination Hockey, and we are going to take a quick commercial break. Thank you again to Justin Bourne, and it was a fantastic interview. Just being able to talk to someone so knowledgeable, so present in the hockey world, whether it's playing hockey, journalism, The Athletic, his father, his wife, Clark Gillies, he really exemplifies hockey. And for those fans who, you know, haven't jumped ship to hockey on Destination Hockey in Hunterdon County, I highly recommend you look at someone like Justin Bourne, who's been able to make a life out of hockey. And, you know, he comes on the show for 20 minutes, talks about everything. He's clearly passionate about what he does. It's a fun sport, so I highly recommend you guys enjoy hockey. If you're listening to the show now, I'm sure you do enjoy hockey at this point. But our original goal on Destination Hockey was to bring hockey to Hunterdon County, and I think we're doing that. Our viewership has been great, and it's really exciting to be able to talk about hockey with you guys and all the guests we have on. So, short commercial break. We will be right back with Destination Hockey on the 100 Chamber Radio, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. You're listening to WHCR-DB, hunterdonchamberradio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the 100 Chamber Radio. I'm surprised I still have a voice left after that interview and what I talked about with the deadline earlier, but we've got about 7 minutes left to summarize what Justin Bourne said and talk about some other great things in the hockey world. First of all, he had some great things to say about, you know, gays in the hockey culture, and I just want to take a moment to talk about the Hockey is for Everyone movement that's going on in the NHL. The NHL is really only doing it for money. I think that's been kind of determined by a lot of people, and the NHL does a lot of what it does for money. It's a business, and I don't think they're running it the greatest way. They're really focusing on the gay community, which is fantastic, and I love that. I would love for them to focus on people in China, you know, every single minority group, because right now they've kind of lacked in that. I've been to two hockey games where they've honored Hockey is for Everyone, and they're really focusing on the gay community. I think that's important, though, because Justin Bourne mentioned that gays in hockey, there is not one person who has come out in the NHL. It's something that you don't see, and it's very unfortunate. I can bet my life that there's someone who is in the closet in the NHL, and it's an unfortunate reality that people are not willing to come out in the NHL. It's a changing world. I think if someone did it, the society would be accepting, and they'd be a hero to a lot of young people. But getting that first person will be very tough. It's tough for them to take on the media, take on all the questions they'll face. And the Hockey is for Everyone movement is a start. I think it's, you know, financially motivated, but it's fantastic that you're able to buy a shirt with, you know, a rainbow logo of your team and support the gay community. It's fantastic that they're really making an effort. And even though, you know, it might not be done the perfect way, this conversation has been started. The NHL is really trying. They're doing something no other leagues are doing, which is really trying to embrace people who are gay and really just, you know, the whole LGBTQ movement in the NHL is really great to see. And Justin Bourne hit that on the head. Brendan Burke was inspired. He's a son of an NHL legend. He was inspired because of Justin Bourne's journalism. Good journalism in today's society is really important, and Justin Bourne exemplifies that. He's a great journalist. He doesn't just write about the Toronto Maple Leafs. He doesn't just write about what's going on the ice. He takes issues that are important to him and really puts it in a sort of language diction that anyone can understand and anyone can really sympathize with, and I love what he does. Even with his performative anger piece that he put out yesterday on The Athletic, which I highly recommend purchasing a subscription for, $3.49 a month. It's super easy, and it's the best journalism you'll find. He writes about things that are important that people don't know about, and it was an honor to speak to him because he was someone that really you don't get to talk to normally. He's exemplifies hockey, and I was honored to speak to him on the show. Moving on to my personal website, Drive for Five, I just updated the website a little bit yesterday. I watched some videos on how to code with WordPress and put in this like nice apply page, which I'm very happy about. To anyone listening to the show coming from my website, driveforfive.blog, it means you're passionate about Drive for Five, it means you're passionate about the Islanders. I highly encourage you to head over to driveforfive.blog and hit the apply tab and fill out the application. We're looking for new writers. It's really great to have your voice be heard. If you're a kid, it looks great for college. I know it helped me get full scholarship offers, and really just it's something that has become a part of my life. I highly recommend applying to the website because we want some new voices, and we want a fresh face on Drive for Five. Drive for Five helped me get this radio show. It's been something that I've been honored to be a part of here at the 100 and Chamber Radio. And I really recommend taking the time to fill out that application and apply to be a writer. It's a great opportunity that you don't get to see anywhere else. There's not many other places where you can write and have your voice be heard to the Islanders community, and it's something that I highly recommend. We've got about two more minutes. My voice is officially about to go. So the NHL, it's something that is crazy every night. It's the standings are fluctuating like crazy. The Devils, the Blue Jackets, the Panthers. Next week, I'm sure it'll be in different order, but the playoffs are coming. We've got a month until Stanley Cup playoffs, less than a month, and everything is really getting interesting. I hope the Devils make it, being from New Jersey. Even though I'm an Islanders fan, it's always interesting to root for rivals in the local area because it really stimulates growth in the hockey market around New Jersey. I hope the Devils make it. The Panthers and Blue Jackets are surging. In the West, the Colorado Avalanche, after being the worst team in hockey last year, are officially a playoff team. They're really working for it. They're battling out the Minnesota Wild, some other great teams, and I'm excited to see what they can do. Hockey is a fascinating sport right now. It's the best time of the season, the end of winter. Even though it's still snowing outside, this is the best type of weather for hockey. And I highly encourage you guys tune into the NHL playoff push and everything about hockey. What Justin Bourne said, it's a fantastic sport, and I'm really excited to be able to talk to you guys about it every week. So with that, Justin Bourne was a great person to talk to, and that was our interview with him. In the coming weeks, we've got Brendan Burke and Shannon Hogan and Butch Goring hopefully coming on in 3 weeks in a row. That's the whole Islanders broadcasting team. I'm honored to have the opportunity to talk to them, so stay tuned to Destination Hockey in the coming weeks. I'm your host, David Lazar. We'll be back next week at 5 p.m. on the 100 and Chamber Radio on Wednesday. Thank you for listening, and I hope to hear you next week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100andchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100 and County Chamber of Commerce.